Accession number 30651, Mr. Bill Ralston, Real 6. Now, before we go on, did you have any training in OP work or command post work at all, or was it just guns?
Just guns.
So what about passing out or any final tips?
Yeah, we got passed out, and everybody, it was on a list, battery orders.
Was there a passing out parade?
Yes. Yeah.
What do you remember of that?
It was just marching with big lines to an officer taking a salute.
Was it a big thing with parents and everything?
No.
Just an internal thing?
Just an internal thing, like with no one watching or nothing like that, just military personnel. No one watched. And then
you were saying about the posting. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Posting, people were being posted to various units, and I was told I was going to be detained there. Like, you know, we're thinking of sending you to Aldershot as a PTI, and you would possibly come back here, like, to Oswestry. And I think I waited about a fortnight, and they said my name went up. No, I'm going to Woolwich with view of having been posted to BARR. And
that's Germany, isn't
it? So I went to Woolwich, got 7 days leave.
So that was what? Still September?
50 yeah, September.
So that's a Royal Artillery Base Depot?
At Woolwich.
And so what happened when you got there?
I got quite a few of us together, sort of thing. Was only there, I think, about 2 days. They said, you're going home for 7 days embarkation leave. Went home, come back, and I think we were there about 3 or 4 days.
Any preparations for going overseas or?
No, nothing whatsoever. Just checked us out, like medical wise, health wise. We went up to London. We got a train to Liverpool Street, and the train to Harwich from Liverpool Street was about 2.5 hours. So I thought, I don't want to stay here for 2.5 hours in the station. So I've decided to hoof it back home to Canning Town. And I then saw, when I called my wife at home, like, went straight to her home. I said, hurry up, we've got to get back on the train. I said, I've got to be back in such a time. And then I was sweating then that the underground wasn't going to get me back. Anyhow, we got back and just made it in a nick of time, sort of thing. And I went to kiss her goodbye, sort of thing, on Liverpool Street Station. And all the other guys here, they were all shouting and whooping their way, like. And there was an army officer with his wife. And she came up to us and she said, I've told my husband to make all those men turn round and give you a bit of privacy. And she was so nice, like, you know. So someone bellowed and shouted at them that they mustn't turn round. And then he had, because this army officer's wife's there, when I had to get on the train, someone was coughing like, you've got to get back on the train, soldier. And we went to Germany. We had first time being on a big ship, right, and from Harwich to the Uckermulland, we were going the other side of the world, sort of fashion. Got a train from there to, I think it was Oldenburg. No, Bremen, sorry. Train to Bremen, then we picked up with lorries and taken to the 77th Heavy Attack Regiment at Delmenhorst in Germany.
And where, sorry?
Delmenhorst.
Do you know how you spell it?
No. D-E-L...
I'll look it up on the internet. Delmenhorst.
Yeah. And we were told that that they were German barracks, like from the First World War, and they had three or four story buildings. Very impressive. And
what were the barracks like? Can you describe them a bit?
Yeah, they had, it was about three or four floors, had a big entrance doorway with stairs going up to them, like stone stairs, glass doors. It was a guard on the glass door in each building. Now, the buildings were in an encampment, so to get to the building, you've got to get in the gate, and there was guards going all around. It was just something for us to do, I'm sure of that. And then you had a guard on the door, and then you had a guard then on every floor. And of a night time, the guard on the floor had to wear plimsolls, because they've been walking up and down, it would wake people up all night. But when we got there, we were standing up in the back of a QL lorry, that was called. And I get out, and so I jumped out, and there was a guy on the draft with us. He'd been in the 39-45 war, and he said, "I won't be your mates long," and he kept saying that to us, "I won't be your mates long," and we took no more notice of him, right, you know. But when we jumped out of the lorry, my hat came off. And I've got someone barking at me, "You're improperly dressed on the RSM square. What's your name, rank and number?" So I told him, I said, "What's that for?" I said, "You're on a punishment parade Saturday afternoon." I hadn't been in the camp 30 seconds. My feet touched the floor. I was on a punishment parade. I thought, I don't like this. So went to bed. I thought, I'm going to shave tonight. I had a shave tonight, cut myself a little bit. Went on parade the next morning at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. And he said to me, the sergeant coming round, he said, "Have you shaved this morning, soldier?" So being someone who was honest, I said, "No, I shaved last night." He said, "The King's rules and regulations say you'll shave every morning. You're on a punishment parade Saturday morning." I said, "Excuse me," I said, "that's all right, I'm already on it." So he said, "Oh, well, you're on one now for the following Saturday." He said, "And if you get one today, it'll be one for the next Saturday." He said, "If need be, when you finish your time, you'll have to come back on a few Saturdays." So I thought, I don't like this. I don't like this place at all.
Now, what was the punishment parade like?
This was murder. They put us all in a square. We had to muster with denim kit, like what it was called, a denim kit, and battle order, full battle order, with a rifle. And the RSM took the punishment parade, and he had all the regimental police walking round the square, and anyone you looked, you joined them. So if anyone looked out the window, like, they'd be up there, get their name, rank and number, and they're on one for the following Saturday, like. And he started left turn, right turn, about turn, and we were just a big shamble of bodies, all getting in one another's way. And I thought it was funny. And I laughed. So he said, "We've got a comedian. He thinks this is funny." So he said, "The rest of you fall out." They'd had their hour and a half, whatever it was, he said. "But the comedian remain here." So I've got to remain there. And he double mark time until he caught me up. And then he'd bellow in my ear, "Double march again." And he kept doing this across the square. And we got to the HQ block. There was the MO. And he said, "Is this man fit to carry on, sir?" And the MO just looked at me. He said, "Yes, Sergeant Major, he's fit enough." And then he plonked me right in the middle of the square. And I was double marked time. and I had four military policemen. So now they didn't like me because they had to stay with me because I was accompanied all the time. And in the finish, my feet weren't even racing to the floor. They weren't going half inch off the floor, my heels. And he shouted out behind me and frightened the life out of me, and I was completely shattered. And if dismissed me, and they all said, oh, go and see the adjutant, right? All the barrack room lawyers, you can demand your meal, like, because they'd kept me late enough to miss my meal. I said, I'm not going to go nowhere. I said, I'll do this next week. I said, and they will never, ever see me again. And I'd made up my mind that they weren't going to see me again. If I had a kit inspection on a Saturday morning, it used to take place. There was about six or eight of us in a room. I would never go to bed on Friday night. I would put, if it said 6 inches between your boots on the diagram, I would measure them up. Not once, I'd measure them up every hour. I would lay all my kit out, and I was determined that they were never going to hit me. Anyhow, the guy who said he wouldn't be our friend, we then saw him walking round with a pay stick, and he now became Regimental Sergeant Major. He got his war substantiated rank back. He'd been a Sergeant Major, Regimental Sergeant Major in the war, and he got it back, and he then took over, and he was murdered, he was.
In what way?
Like, for discipline. We even had to, if the CO's car had been out, he had a car, staff car, and if the car came back empty, we had to turn the guard out to an empty car. If you went out to the town, you had to be inspected by the guard commander. If you walked by the CO's house, you had to do eyes right in case he was looking out the window. They were over the top. The discipline there and the drilling and that, I was always determined that guard mountains, if I was on guard, I'd 9 out of 10 times I was attending man, like that was the one who didn't do no duties.
The stick man.
Stick man.
Now that, did they have the stick man competition, you know, which the smartest man got that?
Yeah, and I always got it because when the other guys would be sitting there listening to the radio, I would be bullying my boots. Well, I used to clean the soles of my boots. Then the studs in your boots, I used to polish them with brass. So the lay soles, I scraped all them out, cleaned them with Duraglit, so they were all brass. My spare laces were in a round. I used to ball them up as well. I wasn't going to have no more of that. Like, you know, I could do all that other soldiering. I wasn't going to be the idiot, like, who was going to get punished. I then went on a course to...
Now, hang on. Were you introduced to the guns of the 73rd?
Yeah.
What did they have?
3.7.
Now, did you start on that, or was that the course you went on?
No, they taught us then...
So what was gun drill on a 3.7 anti-aircraft gun? Or what do you remember of it?
All I can remember is a big tray come down and the shell was, I don't know, it must have been about 2 foot 6, something like that. A big, long, heavy shell, and it plus put in a rack and it sort of threw it over and loaded it like that. We went for a training exercise to the island of Sylt.
Now, what was that? Was that before or after the course?
No, that, like they were drilling us all the time with the guns. And
so what did you do on the island itself?
We were then firing sleeves. We're being towed along by aircraft. But then they on another way, we were firing to our left, and the air, if you could imagine, like, and the aircraft were firing from flying behind us. So if we were flying here, the aircraft were 180 degrees the other side, but they could calculate with the radar and some other machine they had in an office thing. They could calculate whether we would destroy the targets or that. We have spent about a week there, and then I then got said that I was going on a CADA course.
Now, what's a CADA course?
To become an NCO.
So why the picture, do you think? Because you were so keen?
No, because I was a bullshitter. I shouldn't say that.
It's all right.
That's what I think, anyhow. And this guy, the old wartime sergeant major, he said to me, we were drilling the squad, and he said to me, you shout from your throat. So he said, you've got to shout from your stomach. So I said, it's only one way to shout. I said, oh, I asked first. I said, you've got your permission to speak, Sergeant Major? He said, yeah. I said, there's only one way to shout. That's from your mouth, not from your stomach or your throat. He said to me, oh, you know it all. Get off. And he threw me off. This was second day. So I didn't cut no ice with him. For being,
so you failed it.
Yeah, and within a week, on the orders was, I was being posted to Woolwich, back to Woolwich, with view of a further posting to the Far East.
Now, how long had you been with them?
5 months.
So that's what, February 52.
Yeah.
Is that right? Or
yeah, about February, beginning of March.
Now, anything else happened while you were out in Germany? Just look at a few other things out there.
I was asked one occasion if I'd be interested in being a dispatch rider. And I thought, yeah, that'd be nice, right, you know. And
motorcyclist?
Yeah. And they said, can you drive one? I said, yeah, I can drive anything. I couldn't even drive a car or nothing. And I asked the guy who was doing it, like, show me how it worked and all that, how it started. And when I said to him, I don't think I can drive one of them, I said, it was a smaller motorbike I had. And I got out of it that way. They said to me, if you don't want to do it, you don't have to, you know. And that was okay. I had a couple of lessons to drive one of these QLs,
the lorries.
Yeah.
Now, what? So how did they try and train you?
Just with a guy out, driving around, an old aerodrome place.
Did you take to it?
Didn't finish to it with any of it, because. I was then posted, sort of fashion.
Now, what did you do in your spare time there? Well, you seem to spend a lot of time bullying, but I mean, did you get out into the town?
Went to the town and got my wife to send over some little packets of tins of Nescafe in a parcel and used to sell them on the black market.
Black market was going strong then.
Yeah, and cigarettes you could sell on the black market. And I used to exchange it with the money. In this country, women couldn't get nylon stockings. You could over there, and I was always sending her loads and loads of nylon stockings. I used to send them home to my mum, and anyone. And I was out of pocket, or my poor wife was, because she was buying the Nescafe, to send out to me, and We didn't have a lot of money. I think it was about...
We were actually married then, or just going steady?
We were engaged. We got engaged before I went in the forces.
And any other black market activities? Or was it just a bit of selling coffee and...
Coffee and cigarettes. That was all right. You know, it was sort of... to what some people were got up to, it was small league sort of fashion.
And what would you do when you went out in Delmenhorst?
Going to a beer hall.
And what were they like? I mean, what
just full of soldiers, and you get two regiments in there, right, and the rivalry between two regiments, someone would push someone, and then the next thing you know, there'd be uproar going on. MPs and regimental police would be in there chucking them all out, and they'd have a couple of vans there, like, ready to chuck anyone who wouldn't listen and was getting a bit stroppy.
Would you get involved in fights or?
No. I used to box for the regiment.
I'll come back to that. So these fights would just break out somewhere else in the bar, you'd ignore it.
Yeah, like, the best thing to do was to get out, because there were some nasty injuries going there, and if you they came in and took you away, it's 7 or 14 days inside. Like, you know, I didn't want none of that. You lose your pay, and I mean, the pay was so bad that you couldn't afford to lose pay.
Did you drink much? I mean, did you get drunk in Delmenhorst?
No.
What about, how'd you get all the Germans, the civilians that you met in Delmenhorst?
We used to, sport's been a big part of my life. We used to have cross country with the German local police, various other regiments and that. We used to have soccer matches with them, you know, anything they could arrange. It make a bit of competition, and of course the local inhabitants, right, they were on for their policemen. It was, everything was against the German police, right, you know, it was good.
Now you said you boxed for them.
Yeah, boxed for a regiment.
What do you remember about that?
It was good. We used to get, food-wise, we had all the food that we could want. If we went to the dining or the cookhouse, everybody get one little pat of butter or two pats of butter. We could say, put four on there for me, right? Because the boxing officer used to be there, the boxing PTI sergeant, and I want two eggs. The cooks used to look and much and say, you horrible so-and-so, like, you know, you want two eggs and the others all get one. But it was okay. I ran for the regiment there, and that was all right. We went to Minden for the BAOR cross-country finals. Never done no good. I never liked all the regiment. There was another young boy there. He was a kennel boy, orphan kenel boy at Walthamstow Dog Track. He lived somewhere in the dog track or that, and he was quite good. He was a good boxer. By and large, it was good. Like, the discipline was really strict. Then
do you think you were sent home because of this asking this question, you know, on the
No, there was quite a few of us, like, you know, there was nothing done like that.
So you were kicked off the card, of course, but that was all. He didn't see you out of the regiment.
No. It was nothing to do with him. He just got rid of me off of it, like, because I couldn't accept an order, I suppose, in a way, where he's saying, shout from your stomach and not from his throat, right? And me had a big mouth, I said.
So you came back home in what, early March, it sounded like?
Yep.
So do you know who you were coming back to join?
No, they said for Far East Land Forces. And Far East, it's either Hong Kong or Singapore, Hong Kong or Korea. And when we got there to Woolwich.
So where did you come back to?
To Woolwich. Now, I had 2 weeks leave then, 2 weeks embarkation leave. And my wife used to, before I went on it, embarkation leave, we were there and we used to cross over the Woolwich ferry to get to the north side. Woolwich was on the south side. And we used to see these guys with this fancy webbing. And she said, why they got webbing like that and you haven't, like belts like that with all these little holes in? And I said, oh, they're going somewhere special. I didn't want to tell them, that where I was heading, especially my mum or my wife. And so
you didn't tell them you were going to?
No, not at first. I broke it to them easy, and Irish, my wife, I said to her one day, them blokes are going to Korea, I got them, and I didn't have one. So I had one of the belts. She said, oh, thank God you ain't got one of them belts then. And then, of course, the next day I come home and I've been issued with the webbing belt, She said, you're going to Korea, ain't you? So I said, no, we're going to Hong Kong. And I've broke it to them steadily,
You got embarkation leave then?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
What was that like?
Just made a fuss of me at home, I think. My mum was giving me all the meals I liked. So they wouldn't let me go out unless I had my uniform on. My parents were like, no, you've got to let people see you're in the army, Irish used to like to go out with me in my uniform, let everyone see you're a soldier. And I say, I want to get this off, sick and tired of wearing that. Well, I told you earlier, I had an aunt who lived upstairs, the house where we lived, and I'd come home one night and I was sitting outside on the windowsill, and we had a low wall with my feet on the wall. And my cousin was an MP stationed at Liverpool Street. And I had a khaki shirt, braces, army braces, trousers, boots and gaiters. And when he came home, he looked at me and he said, if you don't get yourself properly dressed, I'm going to put you on a 252. So I said to him, what? Get indoors like that. He was about 2 years older than me, 18 months. So I went in and told my young brother. I said, he's only going to nick me, that Jimmy. So he said, and now my brother knew that I was heading for Korea. So he flew up the stairs. He's grabbed hold of him and said, my brother's going to fight for the country and all you're doing is being a policeman at Liverpool Street Station. Oh, and they were going to have a fight then, because he was going to nick me. Anyhow, my aunt said, if he nicked you, she said, I'd kill him. She said, about the army. Anyhow, we got on all right. and then